16. Well, no, leave verse 16. Can you put it up there? Oh, we're going to, you got, wait, let's read this together.
Amen. That's our word.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
And be kind. God in Christ forgave you. Amen. I just want to know, have you guys been forgiving folks this month?
Yeah.
Have you even been forgiving yourself? Just let it go. All right, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 16. And I'll read the 16 verse. It says, the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meetings. Then the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and shall sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meetings. And he shall pour the remaining of the blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meetings. Understand, they are talking about the ritual in which the priest had to operate outside of the veil because there needed to be sin offerings that needed to take place before they can go beyond the veil. And the priest was the only one that could go beyond the veil. And beyond the veil was considered the holies of holies. It was at that time atonement was made for man's sin. Everyone who had sinned because of the sin offerings, the blood offerings, and the methodology in which God has instructed the priest, the people's sins were forgiven. Amen. And so the priests were obedient unto God and did the religious ceremonies in which God has instructed them, because God has always used blood for atonement. It was the innocent blood of an innocent animal that had to die. And that signified that animal dying took your place in dying. And so they needed a specific animal for specific sins. And therefore, they had a sin offering. And when this animal's blood was sprinkled, that means the sin that was on the people now went on the animal, which was dead. And the people were free. Verse number 20. Somebody can read it. Mm-hmm. And so it says, and he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull as a sin offering. Thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make an atonement, a right standing for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Somebody read verse 26. Mm-hmm. So then they say they go on further for the full sacrifice, the burning of it at the altar, right? And then it says what? The sins are forgiven. God was big about forgiving man's sin.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody read verse 31.
And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savior unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he says it again. He says not only that, he shall remove all of its fat, and the fat removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma unto God.
Amen.
And so God was saying it is sweet to forgive sins.
Amen. Amen.
That is what God wants to do.
Amen.
You really need to know that, because if we don't get this message out to the to a world that is consumed in sin and think that there's no way out, because the church has been telling them, if you sin, you're going to hell. But that's not what God has done from the beginning of time. God has wanted to forgive sin. As a matter of fact, that is sweet aroma to him, to forgive the sin. And so God began to position things, and now we're going to move over to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 12, because God was at work in something. He has always used blood to forgive sins. And you know, when Jesus was on the cross, he had died on the cross, and the Roman soldier came and stuck him in the side after he was dead. And he stuck him in the side because the work wasn't finished until the Roman soldier pierced his side. And understand, when the Roman soldier pierced his side, it was the blood that came out of his side. It was the water and the blood that came out of his side. The water and the blood came out of his side. The water represents the word of God, the washing. The blood represents the covering of God, the cleansing. Therefore, when the water and the blood hit the ground, the cleansing process began to cover all of man's sins, because it came from the Lamb of God. And so when he was on the cross, the blood had to come down and cover the ground. Why did it have to cover the ground? Because that's where you came from, the ground. Man came from ground. And when the blood hit the ground, forgiveness covered every man's sin, because Christ got you covered. So then God did not abolish the law, but he fulfilled the law. And so now, once and for all, we are forgiven. Isn't that good? Some of us messed up today, but you're forgiven. And then the church has it a little twisted, because he's not forgiven. He didn't even say sorry. He don't have to say sorry. It's not in the Bible. All you have to be is a child of God, and you're forgiven. Isn't that something? Now, check this out for a minute. I look at that and I go, wow, God, you're awesome. He goes, yeah, look at your daddy. All the stuff you did wrong, he's not bringing nothing up. Because nothing will ever take away the fact that I belong to my mama and my daddy right here on earth. You can lock me up in jail and I'll still be their child. You could change my name and I'll still be their child. You could give me 90 blood fusions, but I'll still be their child. Once you become a child of God, let me tell you something. It's impossible to change God's DNA. Once you're a child of God, you are locked in as a child of God, and you cannot sin your way out of God's grace. Isn't that good? Let me get over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Is that what I said? Okay, verse number 12. He says, we do not commend ourselves again to you, but to give an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. It's not about what it looks like on the outside. You can come and you can jump and you can shout. But it's the heart. In other words, it's what God is doing. Because it's God who dwells in the heart of the man. And sometimes we get all caught up in what we can do for God. But it's what God is doing through you. In other words, slow your roll. Just let him do it. And it don't take all that. You could just be sitting still, and one move of God will change it. Just one move. One move. Say it's about God.
It's about God.
God is so awesome, and he is so systematic. He is always on time. I thought he was late so many times in my life. I thought he was late. Anybody think he was late before? God, how you gonna leave it like? How you gonna leave me like this? God, when you gonna do this? God, when you? And then I think about something. If God would have did what I wanted him to do when I wanted him to do it, I would have messed it all up. Now I understand why they wandered for so long. Because he wanted their hearts. And not only that, he wanted them to want his. And that has never changed. That's why God forgives you for everything. He's made a way so that we will be forgiven. Let's go, verse 13.
For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Amen. Okay, it says, for the love of Christ compels us. So what compels you? It should be the love of God. Loving Christ should compel you. Why did you come tonight? Because I love Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. And when I gather with my brothers, I'm gathering with the Word to get the Word. Therefore, wherever the Word went, change happened. So I know when I show up with the Word, I'm going to be changed, or the atmosphere is going to change. Something's changing in my life for the good, because God is good. I am compelled. I had to go. I'm moving because something is compelling me to move. You know, sometimes we get compelled to want to do something else because we get so angry or disappointed. But even though your mind is compelled to go back and do something that you know you shouldn't do, the heart of the man will compel you to do what he wants you to do, because his compelling is more powerful than your mind. Therefore, you say, I'm not going to go, and you mess up and you go anyway. Anybody ever want to quit church before? Because I'll tell you the truth, God, I told God, God, I ain't ever going back. God said, we'll see. Say, God's in control.
God's in control.
He said, compels us because we judge thus, but if one died for all, then all die. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. For those that live, you should be compelled to no longer live for yourself, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now, Christ died for all of us, because Here's the truth. Every one of us, without Christ dying on the cross, would be going to hell. There's no doubt about it. You know, we get more excited. I know the brothers that have been incarcerated can relate to this a little more. Or a sister being incarcerated. You're so happy when that judge lets you out. I don't ever want to come back here again. When Christ died for you, he broke every bondage that is on you, that you should never want to go back to being who you used to be again. He did it for you, and he did a whole lot. He gave up his own life. All the suffering that he went through so that we could live for him. And we spend so much time focusing on what we have, what we don't have. Even when he gives us something, we complain about what we got when it don't work. And then he puts us in relationship with one another. And then when we mess up with one another, then we have odds with one another. But the Bible says for us to love one another. It doesn't say love them when they do everything right. But it just says to love one another, and then if they do something wrong, forgive one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. And if you look back on all the things that you have done against Christ, you ought to be ready to forgive. All right, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay. Wait, get this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Who is it that keeps bringing up the old things? If old things, now wait. Now, if the word says that old things have passed away, then you ought to just let it be in the past. There's no reason to bring it up to be in the way. It says pass away, not in the way. And so if we don't let it pass away, it's going to be in the way. In other words, I can't get to my next destination because it's in the way. Old things have passed away. A new creation, old things gone. Behold, some things have become all things. Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. All things have become new. You're new. I'm going to share some of this. Ever since Jesus purchased you with the blood, I guarantee you, he has not waken you up and said, I remember you used to do this. And he hasn't told you That's why you're this way, because of this. See, if we understand how the word works, all things have become new. If we know that all things have become new, do you know you have the power in your mouth to speak what lines up with the word? Then why do we talk about what was old instead of talking about all things are new? There's a greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't worry about what happened back there. All things have become new. Wouldn't that help you out a little bit more when you know you messed up? Nobody has to remind you that you messed up. You already know you messed up. Can you get somebody to tell you, don't worry about it, all things are new? All things. Verse 18.
And all things are of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Now, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I have made some mistakes in my life that has hurt some people. And there have been some people that have done some things to hurt me. But never has the pain been so severe as when I hurt somebody else. Thereby, if anybody does anything to you, you ought to be ready to unleash the ministry of reconciliation, which is the first step of forgiving, and let them know that you totally forgive them. Because without reconciliation, then they will be left by themselves. And nobody wants to be left by themselves. And now you have aborted the ministry in which was given to you, which is reconciliation. He reconciled you that you might reconcile others. In other words, get ready to get hurt.
Pretty much.
It's part of the journey. How do I know? Well, they lied on you. They lied on Jesus. They slapped you. Well, they slapped Jesus. They whooped you. Well, they whooped Jesus. They spit on you. Well, they spit on Jesus. But he still was reconciling them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, if anybody mess with you, they don't really know that they're not really messing with you. They are messing with the power of God that dwelleth in you, because you don't even belong to you anymore. You've been reconciled unto God. So therefore, their fight is more against God than it is with you. Because think about it, that was God's son on the cross. And God's up there. Now, I know anybody mess with Armani, I'm like, So you can imagine, God's up there about to come down on them. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue on who they really messing with. And see, if we, as the kingdom of God, stop taking offense to everything and understand who we are, and no, they don't really know who they're messing with. They're messing with the power of God. Well, then, what should I give them? Forgiveness. You got a weapon. Can I get them, God? Yeah. What should I hit them with? Forgiveness. Oh, but they did it again. Now what should I use? Forgiveness. But when you really want to unleash the power, give them forgiveness. I'm loaded. Pow, pow. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. I'm just loaded with forgiveness. Ready, carry a 9mm with a 25 holder. Forgiveness, it's loaded. Ready, I'm ready. What's wrong with him? He's just so forgiving. Yeah. Be having him, can't even sleep at night. Just dreaming about forgiveness. Man, this guy's just forgiving me. He must be related to Jesus. Folks ought to be talking about you and your relationship with the Lord. All right. Where we at? 19? Mm-hmm. Reconciling who? To who? Mm-hmm. Keep going. Mm-hmm. God says, I was at work doing all of this from the beginning. So that everyone knows that their trespasses won't even be counted against them. But I'll use that to bring them to me so that they can release the kingdom. Don't you understand the power of God that dwelleth in you? It's not about stuff. It's about kingdom. When you recognize who you are and whose you are, our Father, not your Father. God said it's inclusive. Our Father. Where is he? In heaven? That's a whole new culture, heaven culture. How will it be thy name? Holy, set apart is thy name. And he says, thy kingdom come. Where's it coming? To earth. How'd it come? Through forgiveness. Now that forgiveness has reached us, we got changed and converted to be children of God, which means now the kingdom has come. Now thy will be done. Be done like what? As it is in heaven. Listen, we should be so focused on bringing kingdom living to earth while we're here. We're going to get to heaven one day. But God left you here so that he could bring heaven through you. If you are a child of God, you ought to release forgiveness. You ought to be demonstrating that you're a king's kid. Right here on earth. In other words, let them talk about you. Yeah. Everybody was ego tripping. Jesus wasn't ego tripping, and look how many he saved. One man's act of humility saved all of us. Can we just take on humility and forgive and let it go and just love one another as God has called us to? Let the kingdom loose. Okay, verse 20. Let's go.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Be reconciled to God. You're an ambassador. Amen. You represent Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. Jesus, wherever Jesus showed up, he had no fear. He had no doubt. He knew who he was. And the problem is, that stuff has happened in your life that you have let your identity be compromised. So one minute you want to be a child of God, the next minute you want to be your own. And that ought not be so. Because if we make up in our own mind that, look, I belong to God And because I belong to God, I know that he's all powerful. I know that he's omnipotent. I know he knows everything. Therefore, I'm not worrying no more. I know he's going to take care of everything. And I know everything's going to be all right. So I'm going to walk the earth and tell everybody else, if you got the God that I got, then everything's going to be all right in your life too. But how does that happen when we keep going? One minute we're here, next minute we're there. I don't know if I want to go to the club or I want to go to church. And we know we know better. And then we do it anyway and say, God, forgive me. And then we wonder why things are not taking our orders. Well, the spirit realm don't know if you're a general or a wimp. Because one moment you're standing up and saying, I'm of God. And the next moment you are slipping and creeping around doing what you want to do. But when you make up in your mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I am a kingdom kid. I know the power of God is activated fully in me. I made up in my mind. One thing God showed me, I was worried. I got worried about my kid. Oh, this kid, oh, she's going through this, she's going through that. I didn't made it up in my mind. God, I love God. And he's in control. And he knows what demons to let loose to come around my kids to run them to him. I don't know everything they're into, but he does. And I'm not going to worry about them anymore. I'm going to praise God for them because I know they have the covering over their life and they belong to God. So worrying is not an option. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. 21. We're gonna go home. Last verse, 21. So they said he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin so that we would have forgiveness in place once and for all. There ain't no more need for a bull. There ain't no more need for a lamb to be slaughtered. There's no more need for the goats. There's no more need for the pigeons. There's no more need for the grain offering. Jesus said, he said, I'm going to become sin so that when they think they're killing me, they're really nailing sin to the cross. Ah. Thereby, when you sin, it got nailed. Therefore, your sin doesn't belong to you because it immediately gets nailed to the cross because the blood of Jesus has covered you. He who knew no sin became sin. You know what really tripped me out? Is that how God uses things, the very thing that causes the pain to heal the pain. When the people in Numbers, when the people were with Moses, and they were complaining, and God sent serpents out to bite them, and they were dying, and they started crying. Moses, please pray to God, and he prayed to God, and God said, "Go get some metal and make it in the shape of the thing that bit you. And lift it up. And when the people look at it, they're going to be healed." And so the ones who have been bitten that were dying were healed because they saw the thing that bit them. Do you know that a rattlesnake's venom is what they make the antidote out of? So the thing that bit you to kill you, they use the venom to heal you. So then Satan is only being used. Listen, he thought that he would bite you to make you bitter, but he doesn't know that God turned it around to make you better. And the thing that would have killed you was supposed to kill you. It got nailed to the cross, and now it healed you. If you understand that that was the forgiveness that God had for you at his work on the cross, it is done. You are healed, all the way healed. Self-forgiven. When you embrace forgiveness, you release forgiveness. You know, some of us still mad at God, haven't forgiven God for something that has happened in your life. Go ahead and inhale. Now let it out. You breathed in air and you let out air. Mm-hmm. When you breathe in forgiveness, you're going to let out forgiveness. And if you're having trouble, that's because you haven't taken it all in. Because you will let out what you got in you. And if you keep calling yourself a child of God, but you still have a venomous mouth, you got to embrace forgiveness. Because what you're taking in is what you will let out. It's time to go ahead and take them all the way in. Because the power, listen, the power is released when you can take him all the way in. Amen. It's time for the church to be the church that it was designed to be. Amen. You know that we could get in here and give it all to God. And while we're giving it all to God, he could change the lives of everybody in this city. It's not about the little things we go through. God is using those to build you up. Amen. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, well, you can say that because of where you are. You don't know where I've been. But you can call Caritas. She'll set an appointment up with you. I'll let you know. I'll have no secrets. Because God took me all the way down. To the point to where the devil tried to tell me to take my own life. And I grabbed the pills and went into an empty field. Yep, I did. But God said, not so. That's why you're going to understand that scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. But if I never would have went down, what would I know what it was like as he's raising me up? Amen. Jesus told the disciples the temple has to be torn down, but in 3 days it's going to get resurrected. He said, because when I go down, I'm going down one way. But when I come up, I'm going to come up with so much power, I'm going to release it into the earth. And so everybody who looks up to me will be saved. Isn't that something? And that's the forgiveness that we have to embrace. Amen. I went.